What I'm wondering, because you've only gotten the one message, right?
Actually, there was another. He came back on January 2nd of this year,
mm-hmm.
because I was really struggling whether to go public with this thing or not. And what he said was is that he was aware of what was going on, was not real happy about it, and he said, if you hear in the press that I talked to John Edwards, don't believe it.
Wow. Well, what's interesting,
that's what he said, and so, you know, we're never going to know, because all they're copping to is that, you know, during a private session that they got connected.
Right.
But when you look at what hit the newspaper, Steve Irwin's dad just says, well, it's not black and white, it's kind of gray, but, you know, Terry was happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's under a lot of publicity pressure now, because if you do upfront publicity, you know, hey, buy a ticket, you'll get to talk to, you know, to Steve, and then he doesn't show up in any fashion.
Well,
you know, at least John Edwards has enough integrity to not fake something publicly.
Right.
And, you know, and he may not have anything to do with this, because I also work in the entertainment industry. And so, you know, publicists will, you know, jump on something that they think is, you know, splash for the press.
Oh, yeah.
And the talent may not actually know about it. Usually they do, though, you know, after the fact, at least.
Well, it seems like a professional courtesy that you would give anybody. I mean, we've done things on this show, but I mean,
well,
we know for a fact that people.
But I can imagine that John himself may even have hoped that Steve Irwin would come through for him. But
yeah.
But I don't know if it's working that way. And that's what I was trying to ask. I'm wondering. So Steve comes to you once immediately. How did he pick you? How did that happen? Here's my question. When you, like, pass on, right,
uh-huh.
and you've got some unfinished business and you want to tell somebody something, okay, but
right.
obviously you're pretty shocked, you're kind of confused, and you're like, well, you know, something just majorly happened, and for some reason I can't pick up my cell phone anymore. What would I do? I'd probably go looking immediately
for a beacon.
Yeah, for somebody who could do it.
Beacon is a good term, because I've asked this question because I'm also in contact with, you know, guidance and things like that. And, you know, I ask myself the same question, why me? You know, because it's a huge burden. If you think it's a blessing, it's really not.
I can't imagine
the blessing
having
for the recipient of the message. It's really, you know, not so easy for me, because the recipient of the message is not sitting right there. But the way it was explained to me is that we show up, those of us who have the ability to communicate, show up as very bright light. And so they go to that area and try their best. There again, it's a two-way street. They have to be able to send, and I have to be able to receive in order for this to connect up.
Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it just seemed to, everything fell together. And you were able to not only receive the message but pass it on, and it came to a good outcome, something that Steve wanted.
Right. Well, you know, that gets to be a little bit magical, too. If you believe in divine connections, which I do, you know, where people just, the right person pops into your life at the right time,
mm-hmm.
That's really what happened with this, is that I work with a lot of celebrities anyhow, and so one of the people that I work with is Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster on The Munsters.
Oh, yes.
And I had gotten him booked into a movie, and the movie was premiering. And so what actually happened was, first was the information about, you know, on television that Steve Irwin had died. Then I immediately get the message. So this is like, you know, 7:05 in the morning. So as soon as my little brain became aware, then it connected. So that's when I got the information.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm sitting in San Diego, California, going, how the heck am I going to get a message to Terry Irwin in Brisbane, Australia?
Especially
how am I
at that
do
time,
that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, how do you?
And, you know,
there's always the pushbacks of, you know, why are you bothering the family? They're grieving and, you know, all of that kind of thing.
Well, of course,
but,
yeah.
You know, but I do get these messages, like, really, you know, like within a few hours. I mean, I actually have one circumstance where I notified a very well-known person at ABC about Charles Nelson Reilly dying before it hit the Associated Press.
Really?
And Yeah. Yeah. Because Charles Nelson Reilly, as soon as he crossed, he came to me. And he came to me because he knows that I can deliver messages to Butch Patrick. And he worked with Butch Patrick on a show called Lidsville back in the 70s.
I loved that show.
Okay, so the first thing was...
Well, I like everything Charles Nelson Reilly. As a matter of fact, now I've got to take him off of my people I'd like to meet list. I forgot about that.
Well, you'll probably like the... Is it okay to swear, or do I have to bleep myself?
Well, what kind of swearing are we talking about?
See, we're on, unfortunately,
we're talking the F-bomb.
Oh, that's not going to work. No. Because we're on actual radio, too.
Yeah, we can't do that. No, sorry about that.
Okay, so I'll just bleep myself.
Yes.
First thing was Charles Nelson Reilly wanted to convey that he wanted to be known for more than just Match Game. You know, he had, you know, a whole career in the theater and so on and so on. So that was the important part of the message. Then the second part of it was, what he said was, is, tell old Butchie boy I said goodbye, little bleeper.
Oh. Well, it's obvious, you know, that I guess that's some type of verification that you retain your sense of humor.
Evidently.
Oh, absolutely.
Your life. Well, I mean, the thing that I find strange, and you mentioned this a few minutes ago concerning this, the Irwin case. I'm just wondering who from Australia is pinging our site. Because, I mean...
Well, we have listeners in Australia and
New Zealand.
Oh,
yeah, we do.
I mean, we know that because we've seen the site statistics.
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah, those things we have.
You know, we used to look at those more regularly than now, and we know that Australia and New Zealand are in the list.
It was a very strange coincidence, and I don't really believe in coincidences. So let me finish the connection point here, because this tells you how kind of magical this gets.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I received a message from Steve Irwin. I have no idea how I'm going to deliver it. And I also had to do some of my own publicity for Butch, because he had a premiere in Chicago for this movie he was in. So I have a bunch of Yahoo groups, one of them being the Butch Patrick Yahoo group, which has like 34 members, not very many. And so I had sent out this message that, you know, premiere's happening and it's in Chicago, and if you get a chance to see it, you know, check it out. And I get this message back from this person, John Barry, who says, you know, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to go because I live in Brisbane, and we're all really upset about Steve Irwin's death, and I went to school with Steve Irwin. And I went, oh, really? And so from there, I said, look, you know, here's what I do, and believe it or don't, you know, he's an Australian truck driver. You know, he's just a regular kind of guy. He's not into, you know, the whole woo-woo stuff. And but, you know, he was, you know, grieving too, because this was someone that, you know, he knew as, you know, as a family friend. And so he agreed that he would deliver the message. And that's what you have is documentation of not only me delivering the message to John Barry, who's, you know, lives in Brisbane, but that he is a friend and that he did deliver the message, and Terry Irwin's assistant actually went and looked for the documents in the file cabinet, I gather, from those emails.
Wow.
And then Terry Irwin called John Barry back and said, yes, we found them. Thank you very much for giving me that information. And, you know, I tend to look at things in a very logical way, and I'm thinking, you know, Steve Irwin was a risk taker, so I have no surprise that he would have a document what to do in the event of his death, even though he was in his 40s. But what came out in the press was that he had had a long-standing premonition that he was not going to live past his 40s. And Terry Irwin was quoted as saying, you know, well, that was kind of his dark side, and I chose to ignore it. And so it makes sense to me now as to why he would have drawn up the documents, put them in the file cabinet, and she not know about it.
Very strange.
Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just tell your wife, hey, here's where the stuff is if you need it, you know?
Well, you know, and just I think common sense dictates that, like you just said. He was somebody who worked in a very, very different kind of field. He doesn't like work where Doug and I work, which is relatively safe. It's not really too much
sometimes,
going on. Sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. You can get ugly sometimes. But, you know, It seems like to me that it would be common sense if you work in that kind of industry that you would have stuff prepared and you would have all of your
right.
family notified on that.
Do you know, Bonnie, I also don't believe in coincidences anymore. Not that Bonnie, other Bonnie.
Yeah, yeah.
I know,
the one
it's
on the phone.
Me,
yeah.
me,
not BS.
I also am beginning not to believe in coincidence, and it's just absolutely amazing to me that you've mentioned Charles Nelson Reilly and Chicago in your half hour.
Yeah.
It just drives me up a wall that all that stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. But, unfortunately, the half
yeah.
hour is just
flew
that.
Flew right through that, Bonnie.
It's just a half hour. What a fascinating story. I want you to continue keep doing your research, and I want folks, if you're listening, go to www.sdparanormal.com. That's
yeah.
San Diego Paranormal. It's sdparanormal.com.
Uh-huh.
Or bonnievent.com. And check her out and see what she's up to and what she's doing, and keep abreast of Villa Montezuma, the Whaley House, and all the other things that you're doing, Bonnie.
Oh,
that's
quick
fantastic.
Little shout out for Villa Montezuma. The house is actually closed, and they're looking for donations to fix the foundation
Ooh,
of
yeah.
the house. And so if you go to my website and you click on the Villa Montezuma page, it will direct you on how to donate your funds, because you have to send it to the Friends of the Villa Montezuma. It doesn't mm-hmm. come to me. And you have to designate on your check that it's to fix the foundation of the house.
Oh, that's a fantastic and worthwhile thing
very,
that people can
good.
Do. I like that idea.
It's a beautiful Queen Anne Victorian. It's all hardwoods and stained glass. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Kind of like the winery here.
Yeah.
Broadcast
a lot like
from.
The
Very
haunted
place
Warren Winery.
That
yeah.
we broadcast from. Bonnie, hang on the line for 1 second. We do have to go to break. Okay?
Thank you, Bonnie.
Hang on for 1 second.